Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Thursday. Start out with some bad Kevin Herr news, and then we'll move on.
What?
Bad Kevin Herr news.
What? Well, like what?
Top 50 shows of last year in sports were out.
Okay.
Olympics got absolutely blown up.
I expected that.
And IndyCar, nothing.
I don't care. It comes back in March with all new chassis designs. I'm excited.
Based on the TV ratings, you are the only one.
And I'm fine with that.
You want to be the only person in the bar that says, I want to watch the IndyCar race from pick whatever. And everybody goes,
no.
Hey, what are you doing?
No, the beauty is I don't have to go anywhere. I could just sit at home or watch it on my app.
Well, it might get dropped now based on what I'm reading here.
Sometimes I think that IndyCar is actually paying NBC to run it.
Actually, no. The reality is the Olympics did very well. The top 50 sports shows of the year, 37 were NFL games.
Well, there's a shocker.
8 were the Olympics.
That does surprise me a little bit, especially with it being a basically recorded Olympics.
It did well. It did well.
Could it be because of Costas's eye issue?
No. 3 were the World Cup. 1 was the College Football Championship game, and the other one was a World Series game, Game 7.
Well, that makes sense.
This report is tremendous news for those who love the NFL. Tremendous news for those who love soccer. It's tremendous news for those who love college football. It also shows the steadiness of the NCAA men's basketball tournament. It's great news for the Olympics. Who was it this report good for in terms of how you look at the
horse racing?
No, horse racing did very well.
Okay.
When you have a Triple Crown contender, it does very, very well. In fact, of the non-most watched sporting events with the NFL and the Olympics excluded, the Belmont Stakes was the 7th most watched sporting event of the year outside of the NFL and the Olympics.
That's pretty decent. You can live with that.
I mean, what's it bad news for? Bad news to me in here is that the NBA is not what it's portrayed to be.
What is the NBA's portrayal right now? You say it's not what it's portrayed to be. I mean, I don't follow the NBA. I'll be upfront and honest about it. I don't follow the NBA, so I'm not quite sure how they're trying to market themselves.
As the number 2 sport in America.
Okay.
And according to this, first of all, not one NBA game cracked the top 50. 0 for the year. Not one NBA cracked the top 50. And if you take out the 8 Olympics, would the Olympics have 8 on here or 7? I think it's 8, right?
I know the opening ceremonies were the biggest of the of the bunch. I knew
that's
that.
That's a clown act.
Well, but I'm not arguing with you. I mean, I hit the fast forward button through a lot of it.
It's eight of them, and the opening ceremony was number 1. It was the 10th most watched. If you take out the 8 Olympics. So that means they'd be spots 43 through 50. So that'd be 43, 4, 5, 6, 7, 40, 49, 50. The NBA still doesn't make it.
How about the NHL?
Well, the NHL, the most watched was Game 2 between the Kings and the Rangers, and that drew like a 3.7 rating. That's, you know, way down. It doesn't even make, it didn't even make the 50 list of anything outside of.
See, that's what I always wondered. What is it about the NFL that makes us watch it even when our team isn't involved? But yet, with other sports, you know, I'd even say baseball, hockey, you know, basketball. What is it about those games that we don't want to watch, even if our team isn't involved?
You mean the NFL?
No, football in general. Football in general. Well, we'll watch a college bowl games are a great example.
Fewer games.
Well, see, that's what I thought too. That's what I've always said, that the abundance of baseball on television has killed the interest in it as far as watching it on TV.
Well, it depends. I mean, these are national ratings for national games, but see, for Major League Baseball, here's the issue, and for the NBA, here's the issue. Of the top 50 outside of the NFL and the Olympics, there are 5 NBA games in there. They're all the NBA finals. And there are 7 World Series games in there, and they're all... But there's no other... There's no conference final in the NBA. There's no ALCS or NLCS game there as well. It's only the World Series or the NBA final. Meanwhile, the NCAA basketball tournament is in here 9 different times. The NCAA basketball tournament is in here.
See, I always thought that football had kind of an advantage because you knew Monday night there was going to be one game. You knew Sunday night there was going to be one game. And you knew that Thursday night there'd be one game. And the rest of the games are on Sunday. Almost everybody plays every weekend. Whereas with baseball and the NBA, the NHL, even college basketball, it skips nights. It's not a reoccurring thing. There's no consistency there.
Oh, well, see, baseball's a little different, and so is the NBA. Yeah, you're on in your local market all the time. So, I mean, these are national ratings. These are national ratings. So, in other words, the guess is the Dodgers. Well, the Dodgers, they had struggled with their cable thing. The Giants. Let's take the Giants. San Francisco Giants, the defending world champions. My guess is that their local regional cable ratings are really, really, really good. And that's where they're making their money anyway. I mean, you don't think the Red Sox aren't drawing well on Nesson in ratings? I mean, really.
Well, no, but I'm just looking at it from a national perspective. Like I said, I don't know that if there
from a national perspective, your favorite sports are off the grid.
Well, you know what? That's why it's on NBC Sports Network, and that's not a diss to NBC Sports Network.
Yeah, but that would have made it here, and it didn't make the cut.
But that's what these networks are for.
The number one IndyCar race had, where is it here?
Well, it was probably the 500.
Well, of course it was.
And that's because it was on broadcast network.
And it ended up being so far down here, I got to find it. There we go. Had 3.1 fewer viewers than the Daytona 500.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would absolutely agree with that.
Of course you have and to. Those are the numbers.
No. I mean, I understand that. No, you knew what I meant. You knew darn well what I meant.
Is there anything else you want to?
You knew darn well what I meant.
You hate the show, don't you?
There are moments. How did the NFL draft do?
It's not on air.
See, because it's not a sporting event. I know.
It would have made it. It just doesn't have. It would have made it, but it's not. I mean, the opening ceremony of the Olympics is not a sporting event.
That's all right. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point.
I mean, it's the Putin clown show. I mean, come on. Even Lawrence watched that.
I think it's really scary, though, that the Germany-Argentina final does better than a U.S. matchup.
Well, that is the other part is...
In the World Cup, obviously.
But the several World Cup matches ended up on this list.
Mm-hmm. I believe that.
Okay, here's the non-top 50. World Cup was Germany-Argentina was 1. USA-Portugal was 3. Belgium-USA was 5. Netherlands-Mexico was 10. USA-Ghana was 13. Germany-USA was 20. Germany-Brazil was 27. Argentina-Netherlands was 28. Are you kidding me? Brazil-Colombia was 32.
This is just in the United States. This isn't worldwide, right? Okay.
Brazil-Mexico was 38. Netherlands-Costa Rica was 40. Costa Rica-Greece was 41. Do we adopt somebody here? Brazil-Chile was 43. And Mexico-Croatia was 49. College football, Florida State-Auburn. Now, remember, the games that were played on January 1st of 2015. Florida State-Auburn was 2. Michigan State Stanford Rose Bowl was 8. Oklahoma Alabama Sugar Bowl was 11. Let's see. Auburn Alabama was 21. Notre Dame Florida State was 23. Alabama Missouri was 25. Let's see. What else we got here? Central Florida Baylor was 37. Mississippi State Alabama was 44. Georgia Tech Florida State was 45. So college football does well. College basketball. These are in the non-50s, okay? You know, this is the non-NFL Olympic group. UConn-Kentucky was 6. Kentucky, Wisconsin was 12. Kentucky, Michigan was 19. Kentucky, Wichita State 31. UConn, Florida was 33. North Carolina, Iowa State was 34. Clemson, Ohio State was 35. Kentucky, Louisville was 46. Wisconsin, Arizona was 47. UConn, Michigan State was 48. See, college basketball did well. Let's see. IndyCar. I don't think there's enough pages.
It's got me. That's all it needs.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us, as I think everyone knows by now. And I've talked about this before. Bob Stoop is going to be staying at Penn State. It's going to be a 3-year deal. Said something about, look, I want what Kevin Herr gets. I said, I'm fine. I said, I told Papa to go for it.
I have a really good agent.
You need one.
The Did Formula One end up getting on your top 50 list we talked about last half hour? Ratings were up, though, for Formula One in the United States.
All right, let's do something to increase our audience. Let's not talk about what you like. All right, so let's go in a different direction.
All right.
How about Penn State football?
I like Penn State football.
Okay, let's not talk about what you like to talk about. Formula One. No. You and one other guy. You and one other guy.
That's true. There is one other person I do know that does watch it. There's only one other person.
IndyCar, Indy 500, we could talk about Pocono. It's a local event that I think is great. Other races? No. The Olympics.
Every 2 years we can talk about it.
Until they get to Rio, maybe the week of. Maybe.
Still want to go to Rio.
And believe me, we still want to send you there.
Go to Rio.
We think it would be a good experience for you. We do. Bob Shoup re-ups for 3 years at Penn State. Let's bring in Greg Pickle from Fight on State. Greg, one of the hallmarks of Penn State going back really to when Rip Engel was here through Joe and so forth, staff stability has been important. I mean, if you look at the staff pictures over the years, guys just getting a little bit older each time, where experience and stability means something. When James Franklin came here, he brought his staff with him, essentially, from Vanderbilt, including Bob Shoup. Bob Shoup's going to stay. What does that mean, not only for stability, but also in the recruiting end of it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think first, the fact that these guys on this team right now will have a defensive coordinator for 2 years in a row, most of them for the first time, is a very big deal just from a continuity standpoint. You know, at this point in time, it seems all of the assistants besides the coordinators will be back as well. So we're really going to see what, you know, a whole offseason with the same staff can do. Obviously, that happened with Bill as well, but, you know, Ted Roof left and John Butler was promoted, so there was a little bit of, you know, discontinuity there. Now you have a guy in Bob Shoup who's coming back, and, you know, the kids weren't on campus during his, you know, the time that LSU was in the picture, so it's not like he was, you know, spending time interviewing and not game planning or not coaching them because none of the kids were there. So I think it's a big deal for the kids on this team. And then when you look at the recruiting aspect of it, there's a lot of guys that have a great relationship with Bob Shoup. You know, he said in December during the Bowl media day that, you know, something to the effect of he wasn't sure about his personality to be a head coach. But, you know, I think he has a great personality to recruit, and that's borne out by the guys that have talked to him and he has recruited and got committed to Penn State, or kids that haven't committed to Penn State but just have a major respect for Bob Shoup. I mean, this is a guy that clearly can coach and he can recruit as well. And when you're a recruit and you're looking at schools, especially coming down to the wire here, you know, if you're a defensive recruit and Penn State's looking at defensive tackles, you know, they're looking at safeties, and the recruiting, the defensive coordinator leaves, you know, you might start to wonder, is this defense really going to be suited for me anymore? Is the new coordinator going to want me to come in and play in a position that, you know, Coach Shoup wanted me to play in? Now, granted, if Brent Pry was promoted, which was very possible, had, you know, if Bob Shoup left, then maybe it really wouldn't have mattered. But at the same time, I think that when you look at it, it's good for a continuity for the team and recruits. And anytime you have that instability, you're usually in pretty good shape coming down the stretch.
Between now and January 15th, what can coaches do? Because there's a long list of what they can't do right now. It's the dead period. But what can they do?
Yeah, that's a good question, Steve, because there's a lot of confusion. So they are allowed to send text messages. We saw James Franklin texting with some of the commits last night about what, you know, who committed, and right now it looks like Bob Shoup. But besides that, you know, it's one of those things where they're allowed to text, they're allowed to take phone calls from these kids. I'm pretty sure they're allowed to do social media as well, but they're not allowed to see them in person. So, you know, if you wanted to go check out a JUCO offensive lineman in Nevada, for example, I don't even know if there's JUCO there, but just off the top of the head, you know, you can't go out there and see him, and he can't come to campus and see you. But otherwise, it's pretty normal. you know, this happens, you know, these dead periods, people think things just grind to a complete halt, and they do, you know, over Christmas time. There's not a whole lot of phone calls. There's not a whole lot of messaging going on just because everyone's enjoying the holidays. But now that those are over, the coaches are starting to get going again. The coaches' conference is next week. And then they're back out on the road until signing day. So there's a lot of work to do between now and the end of the dead period. And there's a whole lot more to do, you know, once the dead period ends.
A very quick, Tommy Stevens, of course, Sterling Jenkins, Paris Palmer, they've all signed. Anybody else that's going to be in the spring in this current class, or will those be the only three?
Those will be the only three. It's Sterling Jenkins and Tommy Stevens will room together. I'm not sure who Paris Palmer will be with yet, but those three will all be coming in January. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure Paris Palmer is coming up tomorrow. I know Sterling Jenkins is coming up Saturday. I just talked to him earlier today. He's set and revved up and ready to go. So those three guys will get here early, and that's important. I mean, especially when you talk about a quarterback to learn the playbook, and when you talk about two offensive linemen that can both get a head start on the playbook, on their academics, on building and morphing their frame for Big Ten football and Penn State caliber football, you know, that's a big deal, you know, especially for Sterling Jenkins. I think Paris Palmer's probably close. He'll get some molding with Dwight Gault and should be good to go to contribute. But Sterling Jenkins, you know, definitely is a guy that needs to put some weight on, and he knows it, and he's ready to do it, but he has to get on campus. He's been, you know, doing some Penn State specific stuff in the off season, prepping, you know, between the time his season ended in November and now to get ready for Dwight Gault's program. But Dwight Gault's going to make this guy, you know, that's obviously has all the tools and all the size that you could ever ask for. He's going to mold him, and then it'll be up to, you know, Jenkins and Herb Hand to get the on-field stuff ready. But the earlier you can start molding a guy like that, the better. And he's going to be able to start, you know, as soon as they start team activities within the next week.
Greg, this is a general question, and it's something that you have to work through as well. You mentioned over the holidays, the coaches basically lay off the kids a little bit, and for reporters, they're trying to get information. For a general player, any player, how much is too much for a coach to contact them? How much contact do they want? Does it differ from guy to guy? Because for me, you think all the time, these kids are probably getting blown up on their phones left and right.
You know, the best relationships I've come across, Brian, are the ones where kids have set times and set days to talk to coaches. And, you know, you think of kids getting blown up. If it's managed properly, it doesn't have to be too bad. You know, there's some kids right now. There's a kid in Southeast Pennsylvania, a 2016 kid that, you know, he might talk to these three coaches at 6:30 and 7 o'clock Monday night. And then on Tuesday, he'll talk to, you know, three more coaches at 7, 7, and 8 o'clock because his schedule changes, you know. So he'll talk, you know, he'll keep his contact every single week, and he knows what, you know, he's blocking out time to talk to them. And of course, the coaches are blocking out time to talk to the kid as well. So as long as there's communication between the coach and the kid, it doesn't have to be this, you know, horrible, you know, constantly your phone's ringing and beeping and blowing up and going off the hook. Now, some guys, you know, love that. You know, there are guys that do love being contacted by college coaches. You know, they'll sit there and DM and text message and talk on the phone with the college coaches all day. But most guys, you know, like a happy medium. And the best way to find that happy medium is, again, to just the coach and the kid to plan and make sure that they're staying in touch and that each, you know, each side can ask questions and each side can get to know each other better over time. But there definitely needs to be a planning aspect to it. There's no doubt about it. And that's why, you know, I think that's one of the best aspects of James Franklin's staff is they're so organized. And you have guys like Andy Frank and the guys and the gals in the recruiting office that really, you know, that really set things up for success. And it starts with the organization and it starts with the time management aspect of it. And, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, rightfully give accolades to James Franklin and his staff for their energy and their outward, you know, recruiting presence. But there's also a lot of stuff on the back end that goes on to make it good for the kids and the coaches. So, yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, there's definitely guys that love it and want to be contacted all the time. There's definitely guys that hate it and don't want to talk to anybody unless they absolutely have to. And then there's those kids that want to get to know coaches, but they want to have it structured so they, you know, they do so that they're not getting blown up, you know, so Penn State doesn't have to call the kid five times to talk to him once. You know, they know Tuesday at 8:30 is the time they're going to talk. They talk, and then, you know, that's it for another week.
27 days, the national letter of intent date. 20 days once January 15th passes. What kind of balance are you expecting to see from Penn State as to attacking 2015 for the first Wednesday, but also 2016 as part of the next 3.5 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is going to be a good experience for Penn State, I think, in the weeks to come, because last year they had to fill out 2015 class. I mean, don't get me wrong, they did spend some time doing 2016 stuff. There's no doubt about it last January, but for the most part, they got here and had to fill out a 2015 class. Now they have just 5 spots left. They pretty much know who they want to go after at this point for 2015. There might be a few guys to pop up that they want to go take another look at, but for the most part, they can focus on their, you know, handful of guys that they're looking at to close out the class of 2015, and then the rest of the time can be spent on 2016 and even 2017 and 2018 swinging through schools. You know, if someone stops in to see Andre Robinson in Harrisburg, maybe they hit a few other high schools to talk to the coaches of younger kids. So, you know, it's all a mixed bag for these guys of making sure they get to the schools and see the players of the 2015 class that they're trying to fill, but at the same time you can get a lot done in 2016 and 2017, because while you can't talk to those underclassmen, you can talk to their coaches, you can make it known that you came by their school and stopped by while you were trying to fill out a recruiting class. So ultimately it's going to be a busy couple of weeks. Obviously the focus will be on finishing 2015, but they'll also be able to put in a lot of good work to start off 2016 and even 2017 as well.
3 players have opted for the NFL draft: Donovan Smith, Deion Barnes, Jesse James. They also have until January 15th. That's the magic day across the board to declare. Is it for you, is that a sit-and-wait proposition, or is there anything that you can add to it?
For those guys, I mean, I think that right now all 3 of them will go as expected. I mean, obviously,
yes,
it's worth keeping an eye on to make sure that, you know, they aren't going and they don't change their mind. And I'm not aware of any of them being connected with agents yet, so they still have that option to come back. It appears, though, that all 3 will go. I mean, we'll keep an eye on it. And the same with, you know, anybody else that might decide to declare. If you remember, Allen Robinson, I believe, declared a little bit before the semester started, so around this time last year. So there's still a chance. I'm not expecting anybody else, but things do pop up, and I do think those 3 guys will go.
Robinson declared January 2nd last year, as a matter of fact, right after Bill O'Brien had signed with Houston. So for you, have you enjoyed your time off? And explain to us what your life is like for the next 3.5 weeks.
Oh, it's been good. I mean, it's been, you know, like I said, it's nice because it slows down. Everybody's on the same page, obviously, you know, as much family time during the holidays as possible for reporters, for coaches, for players. So it's good on that front. Over the next couple weeks here, Steve, it'll be, you know, like you said, these deadlines coming up. It'll be preparing for the final 20 days until National Signing Day. It'll be, you know, ensuring that nobody else goes to the NFL draft from this current Penn State team and the 3 that do. It'll be covering the All-Star games, you know, Miles Diefenbaugh, you know, Diamond Smith, these guys are in All-Star games, Mike Hall and Adrian Amos in the Senior Bowl. So, I mean, there's a lot going on, not so much team-related, but, you know, looking towards the future, whether it be the future for graduated or underclassmen guys going into the NFL and their future, or recruits and what the future of Penn State's team will look like. That'll be the majority of the next month and a half. And then from there, it rolls right into 2016 recruiting and, you know, all the stuff that comes along with that, the NFL draft and the combine. And then before we know it, spring practice will be here yet again. And obviously, Penn State will just keep rolling on towards the 2015 season opener. But, yeah, the next couple of weeks are basically future stuff, whether it be future guys going to the NFL or futures of guys in high school, you know, that are recruits and looking to come to Penn State. So that'll be the next couple of weeks.
Greg, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for carving out some time.
Guys, absolutely. Talk to you soon.
That's Greg Pickle, Fight on State. Coming up, we'll continue to avoid Formula One, IndyCar, and the Olympics as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Once again, the determination was made early in the show that today we would talk sports. Thus, the Kevin topics are off the table. And that's brought with it silence and pouting.
I don't have anything to talk about. That my topics are off the table.
Well, okay, we can get to some of your topics.
I'm not sure I have any topics.
Steelers aren't playing this weekend.
I'm well aware. Thanks for the reminder, though.
Well, I'm just trying to include you in here. So,
I am well aware.
Okay, so they're out. Let's see. Aaron Rodgers is going to play, how effective he is, we will see. Brian Billick in his column said that he thinks Joe Flacco is a better quarterback than Tom Brady. I always laugh when people get, oh, can you believe he said that? Can't believe he said that. No. Joe Flacco's played really, really, really well. Joe Flacco's won a Super Bowl. Joe Flacco's been a Super Bowl MVP. Joe Flacco's played at a high level, and he's played at a very high level on the road. I think that one's under the category of a matter of opinion. Can't act like it's sacrilege that someone thinks that someone's better than Tom Brady. Now, if you gave me a choice between the two, I would pick Brady. But if I ended up with Flacco, I wouldn't be I would not be taking antidepressants. I'd be in good shape. But if your preference is to say you think Joe Flacco is better than Tom Brady, it's not sacrilege. He's a really good quarterback. You look at the quarterbacks remaining in the playoffs. Rodgers is a cut above but hurt. Wilson's a cut above, but he's hurt. Cam Newton's in that second level somewhere, but, you know, he's hurt. Which is a shame. Tony Romo has really elevated his game, but he's also hurt. Brady, Flacco, Peyton Manning, I think he's hurt. Maybe the healthiest guy of all. Flacco and Andrew Luck, maybe the two healthiest guys out there of the guys left. All right, you could throw in the name of one IndyCar guy. You're pouting. Go ahead.
A name of what? For what?
Just name one IndyCar driver.
Marco Andretti isn't hurt.
Okay, good enough. I'm just trying to keep you happy in the show.
Now we can, but the point I was trying to make last half hour, and you were talking about all the sports and the popularity. This is what I thought that all these sports networks would be delivering me with, stuff that I didn't see everywhere else.
Yes, and the ratings show that everywhere else is loving everything else but.
I mean, the last thing I want to see is another NFL pregame show to the pregame show show.
I agree with you. I totally agree with you. I can't watch any of that stuff. Okay, top 50 were Super Bowl was 1, NFC Championship was 2, AFC Championship was 3. Packers, 49ers, wild card 4. Chargers, Broncos, AFC divisional was 5. Saints, Eagles, NFC wild card was 6. 49ers, Panthers, NFC divisional was 7. Eagles, Cowboys, regular season game was 8. Colts, Patriots, AFC divisional game was 9. Olympic opening ceremony was 10. Seahawks, Saints divisional, 11. Chargers, Bengals, wild card 12. Packers, Patriots, regular season. These are all regular season games now. Packers, Patriots 13. Cowboys, Seahawks 14. Bears, Lions 15. Broncos, Patriots 16. Lions, Packers 17. 49ers, Cowboys 18. Chiefs, Colts 19. Broncos, Seahawks 20. Cowboys, Giants 21. Packers, Seahawks 22. Tie for 23, Eagles-Packers, and then Germany-Argentina World Cup. The final, 25 was Niners-Seahawks regular season. Broncos and Dolphins, 26. Olympic primetime, 27. Florida State-Auburn, 28. Seahawks-Eagles, 29. Colts-Cowboys, 30. Eagles 49, 49ers, 31. Olympic primetime, 32. Chiefs-Broncos, 33. USA-Portugal, 34. Cowboys-Eagles, 35.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Some populist movements in Europe that have warned of the increasing Islamization of France and other countries are saying, I told you so, after the murders of 12 people at a satirical newspaper in Paris.
I'm Vicky Barker in Paris. A second night of demonstration.